Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
What? Hashtag winning again? Be sure to vote for hashtag Democrat Socialist this fall and destroy the greatest, most productive economy you could wish for.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. He's a good boy.
The best.
Rob Schneider.
That's a good one right there.
He's here, everyone.
It makes it seem sillier, I think, as what I get from that.
Yeah, I like the James Woods tweets follow me. And I don't know anything about, people have explained to me how Twitter works. I don't really know how it works. When I turn on my computer, I always see a James Woods tweet. And I don't think that I follow James Woods. I just always see a James Woods tweet.
People are retweeting it or liking it
or something. And I just decided that somebody needs to read these tweets and it's not going to be me.
somebody much more adorable.
Huh. Right. Rob Schneider is in studio. TV show Real Rob, of course. Season 2 now available to binge watch on Netflix.
Thank you.
And also, Rob's got stand-up dates going on all over the place. And what you should do, and this is all over the country.
I'm going to be in Sanger, Sanger Theater, I think in Mobile. And then I'll be in Charlotte at that festival and then someplace. But thank you.
You
and
should.
Atlanta.
Yeah, Coconut Creek, Florida, Sandy Springs, Georgia, Mobile, Alabama, Charlotte, North Carolina. And you should go to robschneider.com and find out, right?
Thank you. Yeah, if they could, if they want to. I appreciate it, and it's good to be there. Hey, the Cosby, you know what I tell you about? You know what, like when Cosby first, the whole thing came out?
Oh, he just got handcuffed and walked
today. Yeah, well,
right?
Here's the thing. That in the news.
I would tell you right now, for a fact, every agency in town, when he first, the whole thing, scandal came out, they said, okay, they had an emergency meeting. It's like, okay, I think we got the casino, Caesar's Palace, February 14th. We need somebody to fill that date, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they just go over all over his thing, like, yeah, okay, also, Harris Tahoe, the 15th. Okay, we got to get somebody. We got somebody who's open on that date. That's what they do. That's how heartless this town is. Somebody falls, they go, let's fill his dates, you know?
Rob Schneider being Coconut Creek, Florida on September 27th.
He got perp walk today, right? I mean, he got cuffed
and they released a picture of him. Yeah,
is he in jail?
They're taking
right
him immediately.
Now? Immediately,
yeah. He's in jail for a little bit, and then before the transfer, he's got like a short little stint, a couple of days maybe, and then they'll move him over.
But
to
he is not going home.
No,
until he's completed a sentence.
Yeah,
that's
and he's
what
got
the news
winter,
says.
Between 3 and 10 years.
Yep. He is.
And he's, I think he's 81 years old.
Yeah, he'll be 91 in 10 years.
No. He's got 3 to 10, but I think 3.
He won't do 10, but still, he's going to get out. God, and also, I got to tell you, like, you guys can think about your lives, but there was a time, and it was a good portion of my life, where prison would have been a lateral move for me. Like, oh, a slightly bigger room.
3 hots and a cot?
Yeah, like God's honest.
No roommate.
Finally
no
some
roommate.
Time to focus on handball and really get my game back in shape, you know? I mean, like, I had a bad life. I lived with no air conditioning on, like, service porches on these cot mattresses and stuff. There was no food. Like, everything was bad. And prison would have been like, well, it's bad, but it's, you know, it's kind of a lateral move. Like,
there's a basketball court.
Literally a lateral move.
Wait,
at
set?
Certain
yeah.
points in my career and in my life. When you're rich and you live in Bel Air and you're the cause, yeah. that's
you have dozens of honorary degrees. I mean,
no,
you're
I celebrate. Dr.
Well,
the worst part is the pudding. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of
the worst part is the pudding is not like the pudding that I have because okay, it's easy.
There's a lot of guys who go back to prison and there's a sort of a well, what. You were sleeping in a flop house,
yeah.
And now, like, I really think a lot of guys who go back to prison just go, fuck
cares.
It.
They need the structure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I got to eat now.
So Bill Cosby is not one of them.
No.
He's going in, and he's got between 3 and 10 years, or maybe he'll do, like, 3 years, and I don't know where he's going. Do we know where he's going?
It's in Pennsylvania. I don't think they've...
Oh, close to home.
Yeah, I don't think they've said what the name of the prison is. I don't know how many prisons are in Pennsylvania.
He will not be doing 2 nights at Caesar's Palace.
Wow.
The Cosby.
I mean, what a time we're living in. Did anybody... I mean, you would be, there's two things that would confuse you. Clay Matthews getting a flag for hitting the quarterback would confuse you. Like, if you were in the 80s and you were able to see these things, you go, what's the penalty? He didn't do anything. He sacked the quarterback. I've seen Lawrence Taylor do it 1,000 times. I mean, that and Bill Cosby with the cuffs on, walking into print. You'd be like, what Bill Cosby the world for being too good a dad?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
He's too lovable? Yeah, he was America's dad.
So insane.
Yeah.
You guys should know, I wanted to talk about this male sexuality. I think all we've forgotten about male sexuality.
Gene, unplug your mic.
Especially in high school.
Oh, my God.
In high school?
First off, you should understand what guys are capable of at any given time. I mean, Bill Cosby is a sexual predator.
Yeah.
Les Moonves. Like, the guys. I mean, you think about this cavalcade of guys.
And this is when their testosterone has calmed down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
This is after that.
This is
in their 40s.
Yeah. 40s, Weinstein. 50s, 60s. These, what guys are capable of doing. And this notion that there's some sort of cartoon version of these guys. Oh, that guy's got tattoos or rides a motorcycle. No. Guys who run networks and family men and make nice commercials and have sponsorships.
Matt Lauer's a great example. He's a guy who's just middle of the road, the most ordinary dude, like just normal guy.
Lock the door. Lock the door.
Send in sex toys.
Sex maniac.
In all of the discussion that's been going on in the last few months, the one part they're leaving out is male sexuality. What takes a man over when he hits puberty? Like, what goes on inside of a guy when he gets to puberty?
Misery.
Is insane.
What are you talking about?
And it causes them and makes them capable of doing all these things that we go, what? No. I mean, who would? Oh, yes. When guys, if you've experienced that feeling of going from 14 to 17 or 18, that bizarre,
You're like an alien with
hormones.
I'll
put it in food terms.
Yeah.
Well, here's what's going on in the news. What's going on in the news is a bunch of chicks who have no idea that there's what's going on physically. It's kind of the version of, you know, when guys say to the women, like, I do this all the time, where I go, like, my daughter's going nuts. Like, what's she being nutty for? And my wife goes, hormones.
Yeah.
She's going, it's hormones. She's going nuts. And I'm going, but she's crying for no reason. She just calm down. Relax. I've told her, relax. It's fine. It's no big deal. But it's moving on. Whatever. No, it doesn't work. And then someone has to explain to me something I've never experienced in that department, which is being in the grips of something. Sort of like when you talk to crazy people or people that are strung out, like, you know, when you say to Dr. Drew, like, why are they giving it all away? It's like, they're junkies. Yeah, but just quit. Come on. And they go,
like,
no, they're junkies.
If you get in the way of your dog when he's about to attack another dog, he's going to bite you. Yeah. And that's the same thing.
Right. So the honest talk is guys are overcome with this. And this is an insane horniness that gets them to do things that other people can't understand.
But the difference, I get that.
But why do some guys control it to the most part and some guys don't?
Because they do. No.
Okay.
Everybody knows. So
the potential is there.
Okay.
You're talking about the potentiality of it.
No. What I'm saying is guys do control it. By and large, we've created a society that's worked on controlling this. We built a society that said we can't have 17-year-old guys acting on their impulses.
Yeah.
It would be a rape fest.
That's why
you
we created
be the
football
purge.
And baseball.
Leave the house. So we
and
created
hockey,
a whole bunch of stuff.
Football,
hockey, football.
Baseball, yeah.
We boxing. Created a whole bunch of stuff. And we basically created a society that's trying to tamp that down, that impulse. What I'm saying
is bad.
If you then take half of the stuff you hear about, like you take what Al Franken is accused of doing and go,
being
oh my
bored
God.
On a plane.
Yeah, oh my God. Oh no, that ain't going away. That is basically, so here's what I'm saying. I'll give you an analogy because I'm good at this. You are dying of hunger all the time. You're always hungry. You want food all the fucking time.
No, yeah, it's not hypothetical.
And then all the time.
Then you go.
No, I'm doing a Gina Grad. I'm doing a Gina Grad thing.
Then you have.
And you go. Okay.
You get a couple of beers. Got to throw that in.
Oh yeah. All right. So you've had a couple glasses of white wine, and you're fucking starving all the time, and food is on your brain, constantly on your brain. Yeah. And now we go, I'm going to walk you down the deli aisle of this supermarket, but don't reach for anything.
Come on.
Don't just keep your hands in your pocket.
I'm starving.
Now look, if the guy behind the counter says you may have one, then you may have one. But if he says no, don't touch.
Keep moving.
Just keep moving and don't touch a thing. Now, you don't think...
The food is dressed provocatively. It knows what it's doing. Yes. It left the house that way.
The food is lit perfectly. It's not overly bright in there.
Most of us...
The food isn't asking to be...
You have a handful of ones on you in your pocket.
So I'm not allowed to jump over the counter and attack the deli guy?
If you jump over the counter, slit the throat of the deli guy, stab the night manager, and steal all the cold cuts and run out... then you are a full-blown criminal.
Yeah.
Sure.
But if you reach for a grape, you pluck a grape and pluck it in your mouth, we should look at that as a different activity. See what I'm saying? Yes. We should draw a distinction. And the bar should never be so high. When you take guys and you have them play chicken fight games and everyone's drinking and they're in a swimming pool and they're on someone's shoulder and somebody grabs a boobie.
There's a grape right
that's
there.
That's going to happen. Yep. That is going to happen. Yeah, it's grape. Going to continue happening. And let's make a distinction between jumping over the counter and slitting someone's throat and stealing a bunch of stuff and plucking the grape. Now, you can say, I don't want to live in a society where any grapes are plucked, and I would agree with that.
No, but there's no
but
more...
let's not lump them in with those
this
guys.
But you're refusing to
That's
acknowledge...
That's what Matt Damon got in trouble for.
Yes, you are refusing to acknowledge that this is the age of gray area, and it doesn't matter. Everything encompasses... if you're in that, it's over. You
I
know
acknowledge
what I'm
that. We are not doing ourselves...
It's basically saying this. You remember that guy from the Rams from the Tennessee Titans? He was a yard short.
On the Rams Super Bowl.
That would be touched on now, according to this new gray area, and he would be accused of rape.
Well, I'm a Rams fan, so I'm glad he wasn't a rapist. Kevin Dyson. Sounds
Kevin
good.
Kevin Dyson, yeah.
Yeah. Got
but anyway,
spun around on the 1 yard line.
It's a gray area now. We're just stuck in there. And it's
right.
Hold
on. The thing that's not
Gina,
being discussed.
We're talking about male sexuality.
Why would I have anything to ask?
You need to stay out of
this. People have no idea what's going on in the brain of a 16 and a half year old boy. It is nuts. It is sexual and insane. And we do a thing where we go, hey, just knock it off. Or come on, do the right thing or whatever. If you knew what was going on in their brain, you would understand more clearly what's going on in society because we keep going like, why are they doing this? Or you should know better. Or how come you're doing this? You're not realizing that there's a chemical reaction that's going on in the brain and they're insane. And if you could kind of picture the starving walking through the food court and being we wouldn't have a societal standard that said everyone keeps their hands in their pockets, nobody touches a grape, nobody sneaks a grab or grabs a cold cut or does anything. We would expect, okay, this is going to happen, and then we would think, what is the best way to go about preventing this? Not knock it off.
Right.
Knock it off is not chemically possible for what's going on in the brain of 16-year-old boys.
But to that question, where do we start pulling away from the grape? You know, I understand that you brush some against somebody's boob or whatever, but when you tell, you know, a 16-year-old boy, well, he was just a 16-year-old boy who, you know, pushed a girl's head down in his crotch. Well, she was a 16-year-old girl that didn't know what she was doing and didn't know why this was okay.
Well, you have to make distinctions the same way we have to do the same thing you do at the supermarket, which is what did the person do? It's not all assault or rape or stabbing the guys managing the thing.
But you're missing out on the gray area again. What you have is centuries and the millennia that they're trying to correct now. That is trying to be, and it's true. It's
finally,
women finally have a foothold here to say what is not okay and what has never been okay. And this is not, and this is now, it's not like a flat line. It's encroaching into another area that maybe is unfair. But they're saying it's been so unfair for so so long that let us be unfair for a little bit now, is what I'm getting.
Well, it's a pendulum swing.
Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I have a dick. I shouldn't talk about that.
No, but I think
but
that we will.
Am I right? Am I close?
Maybe. I think it's a pendulum swing, and I think we will get back to something that everybody can agree more toward. But I get it. I totally get what you're saying. But I guess the question is, young guys are completely insane, and if they acted on half the shit they were thinking, it would be mayhem. So thank you for not doing that. But you make a distinction between two dudes, you know, rough playing, and then having to sit out, or a guy going up to a girl the same age and doing something that she's like, why did that just happen to me, and why is nobody coming in my defense?
What gets people into trouble is when we don't want this to happen, and so. Yeah. All the talk about an honest dialogue never turns into an honest dialogue. Honest dialogue is first things first. Understand how 16-year-old men are wired.
Chemically.
Yeah, 16-year-old men, yeah. Also understand that if you start introducing alcohol or substances into those guys, it's going to exacerbate. Again, we don't want this. We want to stop this problem.
Well, then we need to also, just to give those guys, help them out. We need to talk to them about consequences. You can be as crazy as you want, but there will be consequences.
We need to have a conversation that understands the problem, understands the motivation, and then focuses on both sides of the issue. And if you turn on the news, it's just like a bunch of chicks going, why did he do that? He shouldn't have done that. And it's like, because he's 16 and because he's insane and because there's a chemical reaction going off in his brain and it's not right, but it's it needs to be addressed.
But it needs to know that he's not like, it is something that, it's like when you, well, like I have a 2-year-old and I got a 5-year-old. Like the 2-year-old is just, the reason why they call it terrible twos, they've never had these feelings before. And it's like, they just out of control and they'll just, you know, Madeline will start screaming without stopping.
Because she can't use her words.
Yeah,
so
she's frustrated.
Upset,
It's the same way, except with the guy's dick. But at the same time,
you have to go screaming.
Use your words,
but
dick.
Here's the weird thing. It's not just, okay, let's move beyond the 16-year-olds now. Let's move into like the 20s and 30s and 40s, whatever. There is Catherine Deneuve, who got murdered for this, just like, you know, Matt Dillon got murdered for having
Damon.
An opinion. I'm sorry, Matt Damon got murdered for having an opinion. She said, like, in the not the battle of the sexes, but in that flirtatious thing, that's going to be some awkwardness. To get rid of all of that would hurt sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she's saying, like, there's always going to be an awkward
tension.
Well, they're going too far, a little bit too soon, whatever. If you cut all that out, it's just going to be a very ugly, dry,
neutered.
Yeah, it's going to be uninteresting.
The other thing guys are wired for is we're going to keep going until we're stopped. That's for sure.
And I think everyone can agree to that. So if someone's
not
like,
everyone
we're good.
Can agree. I mean, you agree to that.
Right, but I'm
our
saying,
society is not always agreeing with
that. Wouldn't you say
I think we agreed with that a few years ago. We've moved past that.
Wouldn't you say, though, that this is a moment for women to finally have said for millennia now.
Looks like it.
This has never been okay. This is what we're and now you're going to get it and you're going to be it. And so finally, there may be some guilty guys that will go down for this. However, it won't begin to touch on and cover for all the egregious, horrible things that have happened to women for centuries.
I agree. Now, think about how much...
You see, women, we did. We're capable of agreeing.
Think about all the guys that were aggressive dicks in your high school, and then you see them at the reunion, and they're the nicest guys in the world. Like, the testosterone and like, the aggression and all.
And life.
The fucking and the fighting is insane. Like, you want to know how guys are when they're 17, they'll throw down with any dude, like in a corridor, in a parking lot, or whatever.
Hey.
And at some point, they mellow out. As a matter of fact, the part that's weird to me about all these stories about all these guys is when they're engaging in this stuff in their 50s and 60s, like, it's time to take a nap.
They've got other issues that are mental at that point. But that's why they want 19-year-olds in the Army. I mean, let's face it. You're going to go up there and climb that hill and kill those people. Yes, sir. And when you get in your 40s, you go, who are those people? Can we talk to them? Is there another way? I mean, certainly.
Do they have kids? I mean, they don't want to see them tonight?
They look like me. I'm kind of tired, and that's a steep hill. I mean, certainly we can. There's got to be another way.
I think this has been fruitful and helpful.
We solved a lot of problems today.
Well,
in a way, we can have a conversation without somebody, screaming and flipping a table.
You treat men like a biological creature. Treat this as an event that you see in all of nature, which is just the fucking male is out of his brain. Understand that you go from 12 years old to like collecting baseball cards and reading Spider-Man comic books to out of your mind, insane with titties on your brain at 15 and a half. Like you go from who cares? Like you, as a guy, you go from like you go, ew, yuck, like cooties to insanity, like wanting to lick a Playboy when you're staring at it, like just like, ah.
And then if you get married for 10 years, it's cooties again.
Right,
it goes right back to cooties. Yeah.
And if we could understand this biological event that's going
on. Or at least not deny it. How about that?
Or not deny it. People go, oh, so we should forgive you for, it's not about forgiveness. It's about understanding what the root of the problem is. It's fucking nutty biology and hormones in dudes. Mm-hmm. And now that we understand that, let's figure out a way to avoid this, and let's figure out a way to punish the guys who jump
really
the counter,
yeah,
and see if we can not lump the guys who grab the grape in with the guys who jump the counter, yeah, and let's pretend it's a problem that we want to solve,
yes,
and solve it like we solve other problems. Like if it was going on, if you removed the human aspect of this and put it into the animal kingdom, then we would approach it from that direction.
What women are saying is that it's not us, it's not up to you and our other guys to solve this problem. Women need to work their way through this. I can't believe some women that I do know, recently, at the current events that are happening, and I don't even want to comment on it because people are so upset about particular things that are happening right now, like Judge Kavanaugh.
Well, I want to say this. I'll give you this analogy. When my kids drive, I'm going to say to them, now look, if you're coming home on New Year's Eve after a party, look out for drunk drivers. And then you can go, why should I talk to them? I should talk to drunk drivers and tell them to knock it the fuck off.
Yeah.
And that's good, except for they're still going to be out there. Mm-hmm. And I do want my kids to understand that they're out there and there's always going to be out there. And I want them to come home in one piece. So I will have that discussion with my kids. And in a way, this is analogous to that. And I'll also have a conversation with drunk drivers, tell them to knock the fuck off. All right. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Let me tell you about Amigo and this has changed my life. Revolutionary toilet seat replacement. Washes in all the right places. Adjust the water temp, position, pressure, width, and movement. I hooked one of these bad boys up the other week. Features a heated seat, night light, soft closing, air dry, remote control, carbon filter, and deodorizer. Let me tell you about the night light. It's a constant halo.
That's awesome.
And you just, when you get up at night, as I do now that I've
several
given up
times
my fighting and changed that up for taking a leak at 4 a.m., I get up there. I don't have to turn the light on. It's
ambient
just this
light.
Blue glow around the toilet. You can say goodbye to toilet paper, even though I'll give it a little dab just to play it safe, save the trees, save electricity, save water. Install it yourself in just 20 minutes. I always do my business on my Amigo. It's a game changer. I am telling you. I'll tell you. You'll thank me. The first time you drop the deuce, then you take the shower, then you have a couple cups of coffee and notice, oh, wait a minute, there's a little more in the
rumble
tank
in the jungle.
But you already stepped out of the shower an hour ago. But you want to get that water down there?
Yeah.
Amigo, man. So you can check it out. Go to, and you can get $100 off your first order. Offer your order, get $100 off when you go to myamigo.com/Adam. That's myomigo.com/Adam. Get $100 off. It will change your life. All right, let's take a quickie break. We'll come back. We'll do the news. Rob will be here. We'll all crack wise and enjoy ourselves.
Hey, this is Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
And Lynette Carolla.
And we're For Crying Out Loud. Listen to our show because there's lots of swearing.
Mm-hmm, lots of stories.
Lots of personal information
that you don't really need to know, but we tell you anyway.
Yeah.
So check us out on iTunes and Podcast One.
For Crying Out Loud, with Lynette Carolla and Stephanie Wilder Taylor, every Tuesday and Friday at Carolla Digital, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I think we've covered Cosby pretty good, but Andrew Wyatt is his spokesperson, and he made a statement outside the courthouse calling the trial the most racist and sexist trial in history. Yeah, he had a lot to say about
history.
Yep. I'm just going to play the end for you.
I thought there's some guys who would challenge some more racist trials.
Yeah, this is in Norristown, PA. He gave a, I don't know, 3-minute speech. We'll just play the end. This is what Cosby said.
Forget about the Dred Scott decision. This was the most racist decision.
Yeah, this is what he had to say on the rainy steps of the courthouse after the decision.
Mr. Cosby's doing great, and Mr. Cosby knows that God is watching over him. He knows that these are lies. They persecuted Jesus, and look what happened. Not saying Mr. Cosby is Jesus, but we know what this country has done to black men for centuries. So Mr. Cosby's doing fine. He's holding up well. And everybody who wants to say anything negative, you're a joke as well. Thank you.
If you ever want to explain the term grasping at straws to somebody.
Hey, this is the guy who, during the last mistrial, was yelling, Mr. Cosby is back. Mr. Cosby, he's back. So get your tickets. He's back.
Oh, that might have been him.
He's back. Mr. Cosby is back.
Was somebody yelling the entire time?
Oh, sure, of course.
There can't be anything without people screaming the entire time, can we?
There was some woman in the back. I don't know what she... Oh, I would like to know. Can we figure out what she was saying? Because that would be interesting.
I doubt very much it's interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, and that's so normal now. There's such boring and average everyday systems in place now to remove people, you know, during a Senate hearing or anything. And that's how you rotate new
who's
people.
Adam Sandler did a thing on Iranian Pete or whatever. Who's the guy that was like, Iraqi. Who's the Iraqi guy? Who said, everything is great.
Yeah.
The battle is going really well.
Iraqi
Pete.
Yeah, that's right. He was
information minister, war information minister or something. The war is going incredible. All the royal fighters are pushing the Americans back. The two planes that we have bombed all of the American planes out of the sky.
Yeah, there was, what was the Japanese version of that from World War II?
Tokyo Rose.
Tokyo Rose. Yeah, that was... It's a good gig if you can get it.
You should quit now.
But usually
I don't think
means
it was voluntary.
It usually means you're losing.
You should quit now. You should quit now, Adam. You're way ahead. You should quit.
I would do that. I'd quit.
You'd be a Tokyo Rose?
Yeah. If I was island hopping.
Put your microphone down, Adam. It is time to quit.
Yeah, does everyone have to scream at everything all the time now? Like the other day, I was like, I just want to listen to Ted Cruz eat dinner.
No.
And all these people started screaming right in the middle of my session.
How is that fair? You know, is that? That's like, I feel sorry for the other people eating at the restaurant. Like, hey, listen, I got no dog in this fight. I just want to have like my little foie gras here and get out with my Chateau de Cam and get out of here. And all of a sudden,
I'm like, sir, this is Del Taco, so you pretty much have to stick to the menu.
I mean, just like...
No foie gras?
No, we're out of it.
There's none of the building?
So we got a Chateau de Mountain Dew.
I don't even know how I feel about that. I haven't formed an opinion exactly.
Oh, I have a feeling about... I don't care if I agree with the guy or I don't agree with the guy.
Let him eat.
I am so uncomfortable watching that video. I can't even watch it. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Wait till he leaves and then do whatever he wants. Or you know, go egg his car or something.
Yeah. He's tired. He's in there. Yeah, nice dinner.
Yeah. I feel sorry for like the guy had like, you know, the bellman. The waiter. I mean, they're all there and they're like, you know, gosh, that's going to affect my tip. I was expecting a 20 on the way out or something. I'll give him a nice table.
Nothing.
And now he just wants to get out of there. You know, the waiter, you got to feel bad about that. You know,
it's uncomfortable.
The bus boy. Yeah.
All right.
Nobody wins.
Well, the Bleacher Report says that Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer, I don't know if those names sound familiar
to you,
they will become the first female broadcasting tandem to commentate on NFL games when they call this week's Thursday night football matchup between the Vikings and the Rams. So if you're not too familiar with them, Storm currently works for ESPN.
For a long time now.
Yeah, Kramer.
She's been able to learn some things about men hitting other men now with helmets. I think she's qualified.
She's going to be okay. Kramer's an NFL Network correspondent. She's one of the most well-known sports broadcasters in the country, having covered dozens of Super Bowls in addition to the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals,
March
Madness.
She knows football.
Yeah. The announcers,
she's seen it.
The announcers will work together through the Week 15 game between the Chargers and the Chiefs. And just in case anybody can't handle this, just FYI, you have several options. Business Wire provided a press release from Amazon, which noted viewers can choose between several audio options, including Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, announcers from the UK, Spanish, whatever you want.
Joe Buck never, and I don't get that he ever played baseball really well, and I could watch him, you know, call a game.
Yeah, talk about it.
But at the same time,
well,
though,
his dad.
Jack. His dad was a great player.
Is
you have
announcer.
A problem with that at all, Adam? You're kind of with two chicks, you know, right?
No, I don't.
She's bringing sound to the border.
Let's bring the sound down. Yeah. It's no big deal.
You're familiar with both of them, though.
Of course, yeah. Hannah Storm, I think her hair went lighter. It used to be dark.
I remember.
I think younger pictures of her with darker or brown hair. Either way, they do a good job. And no one will care. It'll be like the announcer at the Oscars. All those jobs are women now, and nobody says anything. They used to be like guy things, and now they're women things, and no one will have a problem. The only part is nobody played, you know?
Well, that's the thing, but there's the assumption.
Nobody played in the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, that. There's the assumption. Yeah. Well, just there was.
They have guys who played in the game
There's the assumption that if you actually done it, that you may know a little bit more about it than someone who's never done it has only watched it.
Well, my dad
That's
was
the
a,
assumption.
My dad was a play-by-play and color guy for decades, and he's never played professionally, but he won multiple awards.
My dad was a Moyle, and he's uncut.
More comfortable listening to a guy. Well, he must know because he's they're going to give the ball right up the middle.
They put one guy who can speak English, and then put another guy who can go. When we were playing Buffalo in 91, I was hit by that guy's son or whatever it is, and they'll do that. But this is fine. It'll be good. The best is. Not Troy Aikman, but other.
Daryl Johnson?
No.
Chris Collins. The greatest of all time.
Although he's good. Who's the best? Tony Roma.
Oh, Roma. Yeah, sorry. He started last year.
He's good, huh?
Last year was his first year in the booth, and he's really good.
He's good, and he is good because he was there.
Right.
And he's like calling out the defense, and here's what they're going to do, and he's literally saying what is going to happen.
Cowboy?
Because. Yes, because he stood under center, and now he's seeing it all.
He was the general. He really was. That's why I like Aikman, because these are the guys, they weren't just like they were calling the plays.
Right.
They knew all the
Intimately
plays.
Intimately involved.
Yeah,
but anyway, it's fine. Everyone will be fine, and we will enjoy it.
We often talk about guys you can't hang with. Guy who has a serious problem with the all-female booth. Guy's like really worked up about it. Guy well, really
I,
is like,
oh,
this
I will
is
say,
right.
like, I don't need that much information that Tony Roma is providing. I really don't. I'll be probably fine with the information because I don't know. I never played. I get enough what I want. And truthfully, I'm not even watching the whole game. I'm there. I'll catch a little piece before the halftime. I'll catch some at the end because that's just my life has
yes.
other things going on.
It's fine. I'll tell you what. I will tell you what I will trade this for. As a douchey dude, you what? Can't take the hot chick who doesn't know anything and just put her on the sideline to interview. Yeah. Like, there's the eye candy because she's interviewing the coach and they're saying nothing. That, let's get a big fat. Let's get Tony Saragusa in
put
there.
The goose out there.
Put the goose out there. All right, sorry.
Agreed.
All right, I will watch. And she sounds, I think, Max Pata, here's some work for you. Hannah Storm, dark hair. What's her name? Andrea Mitchell?
Kramer.
Yeah.
Andrea what? Kramer. Okay. Andrea Kramer is good. I think she's in Real Sports. Sports.
She's yeah. excellent. She's, good. She's like, well, real
by the way, if you watch Real Sports, they have female and male journalists, mm-hmm. and you just watch the story, and it's all the same.
Yeah.
She's got, she sounds like Barbara Walters.
She's got a little bit of that
which
voice.
Is,
it did take a while, though, for people to get used to it. You know, yeah. it's I mean, it's a cultural thing. You got to like, I don't know about that. I think we got to, you know, it became, you know, it was in the NFL, too, the idea of a black quarterback.
Well, I was going to say the NBA
and,
was
and
all white
like,
dudes.
The idea of a black coach. I mean, yeah. like, it was just, and you're dealing with, like, you know, people who are still using the word owner, you know, the
yeah.
owner. You know, I think it's a little old. It's a little late in the game to be when 80% of your, 75% of your workforce is black. You can no longer use the word owner anymore, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but so it culturally catches up. But I think if they're good, they're good, whatever. I think it's culturally in the same way, you know, female boxers and
well,
fighters.
We've talked about that before. Yeah. That used to kind of make you cringe just because it's we're not used to seeing chicks
well,
hitting
MMA,
each other in the face.
You know, elbows being thrown to women's orbital sockets. but now, yeah. now we love it. Yeah. So that's how, basically, you bring the product, everyone moves on.
Yep.
All right, what's next?
Well, this would be a really... Oh, there she is with the dark hair.
That's 95, Hannah Storm.
Oh, yeah. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, she had dark hair.
All right. This might be interesting to bring up to Mark Geragos when you see him next. You don't see this very often. So Yahoo News reports that two bartenders have been criminally charged after an intoxicated patron left their bar and allegedly caused a fatal crash. Texas bartenders Shafay Look and John Ward, they were at the Island Pier Club in Galveston, Texas. They were charged with, quote, selling an alcoholic beverage to an intoxicated person. A 50-year-old woman named Geraldine Weberline, who in June allegedly crashed her car into two bicyclists 15 minutes after leaving the bar. She's the one that committed the crime.
She was overserved.
Yep. According to the Houston Chronicle, both victims were treated in the emergency room. One suffered a broken arm and cuts. The other died the following morning. The Chronicle reports that the bar...
From the accident or was like attacked
heart
by
attack.
A bear?
Yeah. But broken heart.
Because they were attacked by a bear. Hold on.
Ceiling collapse.
That is
finish.
Not... On the drunk driver. If they're coming home from the hospital
that's
and the
right.
Kodiak escapes the zoo and takes him down, you cannot pin that
on the bartender.
On the bartender.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
You're
it's,
right.
like, it's like Adam Sandler's one of his early jokes. It's like, I was driving over here and a cab driver and he killed a dog on the way over here. You know, he didn't run over it. He just got out of the car and just beat it with a bat. Beat it with a bat.
Yeah, exactly. So the Chronicle reports that the bar surveillance video showed Look and Ward serving Weberline despite her spilling drinks, stumbling, needing her assistance of other customers
right, to stand. You gotta get rid of cameras in the bars. You gotta get rid of the cameras.
That's what the story
the
says. Can I say this? All bartenders. Maybe if people are getting into a car and then driving home from your establishment, easy with the over-serving. But if you work on a cruise ship and all I got to do is stumble back to my room and no one knows I'm stumbling because of the rocking of the ocean.
You're just trying to maintain your
balance.
Have
a heavy hand.
The difference between the bartender that holds the
jigger
up next to the glass.
Colonel Sanders said jigger.
Pours it. And then moves it over, spills a little, and then dumps it into the glass versus the one who just dumps it over the glass into the jigger and then dumps the jigger and then lets it run off a few more beats. Mm. That goes from hero to zero in this passenger's mind. The one that does it right over the top of the glass. I'm in love with that person. The one that goes, I'll move over here. Yeah. We wouldn't want any booze splashing into the cup. So let me just keep a safe distance. I'll move about 6-8 inches over here because, God forbid, a couple of drops could splash into the... All we're trying to do is catch a buzz.
Yeah.
Understand, you got this miniature little funnel thing with the corked off end, and you're carefully pouring it, and then you spill a little, and it doesn't all quite make...
Oops, better wipe that up. Better start again.
I don't like that. Pour it right over the top, and do the dump, but don't stop the pour.
Yes.
That's a hero.
That's the way to go, yeah.
That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. It's good business.
It's good being
tip.
A good person.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're doing the right thing.
This over-serving thing has been a thing for at least... So one of my college jobs was working as a bartender. They trained me and whatever, and they were very serious. Like, do not... If someone's visibly drunk, do not serve them more drinks, because you're liable.
And that poor Thai base goes to the runner. It's more generous.
And it's also...
Give.
It's a weird... It puts a bartender in a weird position, because we've only come here to get drunk. We're sitting at a place that is built for people to get drunk. You
encouraged.
Are in charge of getting the booze from behind the counter and dumping it in my gullet. I'm going to give you money, but at some point, you have to make some sort of decision about how much they've held and can hold.
No matter how much I beg or how angry I get.
And also, and your income is reliant on this person's gratitude.
If you work at, the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory, and somebody comes in and goes, all right, give me two fingers of rye, you can go, whoa. Hold on, I can't do that.
Just the one finger.
Strip club. When do you call that? When does that guy cut off? Don't take any more 20s from that guy. He's inebriated. listen, ladies, the guy over there in the front, the fat guy, don't take any more money. No, he clearly is not capable of making a good decision.
I was overcoozed. Well done. There is a guy famously at New York. There's a famous story, and I think it's a Scores, and I think the guy was an attorney. And he ran up a $40,000 tab.
Like in a blackout.
And he's basically said, I got too much booze served to me, and I'm not paying you. And there's a lawsuit going on.
Wow.
That's one of those ones. When I see
how could they do that to that man?
When I see...
Seems like a perfectly good guy.
When I see Anthony Weiner do a press conference and his wife is standing next to him, I go, wow, I don't think Lynette would do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of convincing.
And then I see Kavanaugh giving his interview and I go, all right, I get it. She's there. She's supporting him. There's optics there. But I don't know if that guy's married, but I don't know if he's allowed to have his wife next to him when he was explaining he was overserved at Scores.
It's just in the old days when you're not going to complain most times. If you're ordering something from, if you're ordering an extra size dildo or whatever thing, you're not going to complain. Hey, I was supposed to be. I didn't know it was shipping and handling.
Hold on. We still at the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory? Because that's
a lot of explaining.
That's an add-on for the bear.
Yes.
I would one day like to hear stories about people being in that champagne room. I've been in that champagne room where people were hit with $3,700 tabs, and there's four dudes, and you're there for an hour and 25 minutes.
One of those dudes is always Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, and you're always what?
Do they give you an itemized breakdown?
And it's also, you can never whack it up. Oh. All right, it's $3,700. There's five of us, so that's going to be with tip. That's going to be about $800 ahead.
Gina, the bill's always very general. It's drink, open drink.
You're buying her drinks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're all drinking on your table.
Wow.
Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, I always thought the boot was for his knee or his ankle. It's actually an anti-rape boot. That's what the whole thing was.
And you also go $14 for a 7-Up? All right. Let me tell you about Geico real quick. Everyone's got the to-do list. You drop off the dry clean. You pick up the milk. You take in the dog, you put out the cat. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. You go to Geico at geico.com. Spend 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. Going to be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. That's geico.com. All right, one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, Madonna is going to the highest bidder at a fancy charity auction on Wednesday. Madonna is one of the big donors to the Monte Carlo Gala for the Global Ocean, an environmental event hosted by Monaco's Prince Albert. She's agreed to auction off three experiences with her.
Let one of them be, I strangle her. Can I? I want to experience strangling Madonna.
Isn't a Prince Albert a penis?
Prince Albert again?
The head of the
head?
Yeah.
Not that you'd know.
How'd you like to be Prince Albert and know that that was your thing? That'd be...
Yeah.
So it's Prince Al. Everyone's Prince Al.
These are the three experiences you can bid on. One will let the winner go horseback riding with her near her home in Portugal. For another, she'll direct a high fashion photo shoot starring the highest bidder. And the third, she'll allow one winner and three guests to join her in the recording studio for a preview of her new album. Bidding for each is expected to go well into the five figures.
I would give her seven figures for an adventure called Dawson Smokes in Front of Madonna.
And her children.
We sit down for lunch. And Dawson, after the meal, lights up. And she goes, excuse me, my voice is my instrument. And Dawson's like, sorry, sweetie, I paid for the experience. Corolla paid for the experience, and I'm smoking in front of you. And there's nothing she could say, because I watched her once give she was doing rehearsal at, like, I don't know, outdoor venue in, like, Rio de Janeiro or something. It was, like, raining outside, and she was doing, like, a mic check. And, like, someone was smoking 40 feet away.
Open air.
And she, like, stopped everything and, like, yelled at the guy for smoking. So I'd pitch in several hundred thousands of dollars, but Dawson, you'd have to bring your A game.
I'm going to check. I'll do the horse one, and here's why. Because there's a chance she gets trampled. And that is an experience.
Give me like 12 grand.
12 grand.
I'll cut my hair and shave so that I look more like Sean Penn.
Ooh, yeah.
That's right.
She can't resist.
Creep her out
that's
experience.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Mr. Cosby is back.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
He's back. Oh, Mr. Cosby's back.
A telecom executive was charged $241,000 at Scores.
Yeah, sweet.
He refused to pay it, saying, I only spent $20,000. And his wife was like, I think his credit card got stolen.
I'll have you here. Let me tell you something right now. One thing I know that I did not spend more than $20,000 at that strip club. Let me tell you what. I know a few things went on in that champagne room, but not any of it would rise above the 20,000 figure. I'm outraged.
I would make the overserved argument. Like, hey, once we get to 200K, someone's got to tap me on the shoulder.
No, but that doesn't work. They tried that. The guy who owned the Philadelphia Eagles sued because he lost his team, the Eagles, because of a debt that he had in Vegas because they got him drunk.
Oh, really?
That's a true story.
What year was that?
Now, I'm going to say around 1980. No, seriously, you could look that up.
I'd see that.
Look that up, Max.
They lost the lawsuit. And it's just like, you know, it's like that movie with Albert Brooks, you know? The Desert
Lost in America.
I love it.
How great would that be if you gave money back to this couple? The Desert Inn Has Heart. I'm
not some putz who comes in here to watch Wayne Newton. I like Wayne Newton. No, I love that part. It's a great movie. All right. Castrol Edge.
Who played the director?
My God.
Who played the director?
He
was a director who played the guy, the head of the
it was
casino.
Rob Reiner.
Gary Marshall.
Rob Reiner thing. Hey, look up Lost in America, and then look up, was it John Wick 2 or John Wick 1? That got 88%.
Oh, John Wick 2, I think.
What?
That we played. If John Wick 2 is at 88%, and it's higher than Lost in America. I'm going on a killing spree.
It was John Wick 1, and that got 86.
86.
But what? I'm missing this whole point.
Which one got a better score?
On Rotten Tomatoes. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Then Rob, you're interested in my
part. Rob's like, Rotten Tomatoes only goes 1 to 8.
We're all over the place.
Sorry.
Maximum performance. Friction results in a loss up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times, fool! Stronger than conventional motor oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine today. All right. Lost in America score was
97.
Good.
Thank God.
I can sleep.
What's her
right
name
in the universe.
From Airplane?
Julie Haggerty.
Julie Haggerty.
Oh, great comedic actress.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
She is. And a beauty, too. Mm-hmm. All right.
Doesn't help your career, though.
Rob Schneider can be found. What you need to do with Rob is go to robschneider.com and also check out Real
Thank
Rob,
you so much for
season
me.
2.
I've enjoyed being on
Netflix.
Here.
We really love you being here.
Thank you for having me.
And you should go ahead and go to Phoenix Stand Up Live, October 27th, basic cable commentary, two shows. Me and Mike August will be doing that out there. Anaheim Grove, November 30th, will be out there doing a live podcast. And, Rob Riggle.
And you know what? Bill Cosby's back!
Bill Cosby's back. You go to amcarolla.com for all the live shows and the merch and all that. And you can check out the Producer's Guide podcast. You can check that out at Podcast One and Apple and wherever you find your better podcasts. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Rob Schneider, Gina Gratt, and Paul Bryan saying, mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail if you like at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Paul Bryan and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. Phoenix Stand Up Live, October 27th, two basic cable commentary shows. And don't forget the World Championship of Guacamole, presented by Carolla Drinks. Get your official registration form at officialwcog.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, degree events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.